Today we'll be looking at the book of Haggai. So we'll turn to the book of Haggai and we will read the first seven verses. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Verse number three. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And that he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the book that you have given to us to study, to discern, and to understand. Father, we thank you for this time. Bless this time, Lord, as we look into the book of Haggai, and help us, O Lord, this morning. In Jesus Christ's precious name we ask, amen. This morning, we were taken back to about 2,000 years ago, and today I'd like to take you back about 2,500 years ago to see what God has for us. Looking at the book of Haggai, we find that there are two problems we see and God's concern. One is our priorities in life. Secondly, the excuses that we make in life. But here, God is talking directly to the Israelites. God is telling them and speaking to them about what is going on. But we need to also understand what the time period is and how the Israelites came to this period of time. And here in the first verse, it says, in the second year of King Darius. When we read that, the second year of King Darius, let me let you know that the year is 520 BC. That's about 2,500 years ago, or maybe a little longer. But that's the period of time we are going back because there is a message for us in this book. And the message for us is for us to consider what our priorities are in life, the excuses we make in life, the things that we do, but sometimes we don't speak it aloud. We just keep it within ourselves. And so let me take you back to the situation or the time that the Israelites got into. Now, when we look at it, this is year 520 BC. This is the time after they returned back from Babylon. They were taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar in the year 605 BC. So it's about 85 years before, 86 years before, the Israelites were taken captive by the people of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar the king at that time. But what happened? Because the Israelites were sinning against God. Their iniquities had been so high, so much, that God had enough. God sent prophets to warn them that their life is not right, that they are sinning against God. Their iniquities were filled up so high that God had to take action. He sent several prophets, several of them. Many of them, the Israelites, gave the prophets a hard time. And so finally, the day came. And the day came in the year 605 BC. I'm not going too much into the history of Israel, but just quickly to look at, we find that there were three times or three phases or three ways by which or from which Babylon captured Israelites. So it was in 605 BC the first time, the second time was 597 BC, and the third time was 587 BC. These three waves took most of the Israelites into captivity into the land of Babylon. Who was Babylon? What was Babylon? That was the superpower of that time. That was America of that time. Wealthy, rich, they had everything. And people wished that they were like them. And so we find the Israelites, although much against their wishes, they were taken to Babylon. They were held captives there. Many people did well in Babylon, the Israelites, but it was still not their homeland. But God had a purpose for this, and that was because of their sinfulness, because of their iniquities. They did not obey God, did not follow the statutes and the commands of God. And so they were taken away. And in the book of Jeremiah, we see that they were to be punished for a total of 70 years. So now we come to the site, to the place where God is telling us through Haggai that these people have come back, the children of God has come back, but they are not doing the things of God. And that's what the book of Haggai teaches us. And here we find in 538 BC, they are allowed to come back, 538 BC. There was a change in rulership in Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar and his children, their time was over. And we find a second group of people came in, which is the Medo-Persians, the head of gold, which is Nebuchadnezzar. And Babylon, that rule was over. And then the Persian and the Medo-Persians came into rule. And that was the time when Cyrus the king let the people of Israel leave. They left and they came to Israel. What was the reason that they were left? Because God wanted them to leave. God was the one that controls everything in this world, even our time and our lives today. God is in control. The good, the bad, everything that happens in the world happens, and God knows it, and he plays a part in it. Even in our lives today, it does. Many times we think the only good things happen and everything that happens is only for the good. No, even the bad things happen. That is to alert us of our lives itself. Now, when we look at the book of Haggai, we find in the first verse, it says, in the second year of King Darius, and in the sixth month, in the first day of the month. Right there, we find that the Lord is giving us a date. Why so much in detail? He could have just given us in 520 BC, but he says something else. He says the second year of Darius. That dates for us the year 520 BC. And then it talks about the first day of the month. So we know it is the first day of the month. And which month was it? The sixth month. Now, I have written here the sixth month, according to the Hebrew calendar. That month, the sixth month for them is Elul, Elul, E-L-U-L. Elul is the sixth month, but according to our calendar, that comes up to be equivalent to the ninth month. So it is September 1st, 520 BC. It's very interesting when we look at this calendar change. And do you know that there was a period of time in this world that there were no births or deaths? I don't think you'll believe me that when I say that, but I'm going to show you a calendar. This was in 1582. In 1582 was when the calendar, which was originally or before this, was called the Julian calendar, after Caesar, Julius Caesar. And that was the calendar. And then the Gregorian calendar came into view, and that started in October 1582. And do you know, if you look at Thursday, the 4th of October 1582, look at the next number. The Friday was the 15th. So from the 5th, October 5th to October 14th, no days. It was not there. So that's when I'm saying that there was no birth or death. There was no one born on October 5th or October 6th, 1582. Man-made, not God-made, man-made. Why? Because the Pope stated and decreed that after the 4th, it'll be 15th. I'm sure many of you might have heard about this, read about this, but I did not know. And to my surprise, that was really a surprise. And many nations adopted this gradually, just not all of a sudden. United States adopted it in 1752. India adopted this in 1752. And many of the European nations adopted that in 1582 itself. So that a change in the calendar happened. So we are going back to verse number one. Second year of King Darius, the 1st of September, was when God spoke to Haggai the prophet. Who was Haggai? A little bit more about the prophet. He was the first prophet of the post-exile period. Now, you know about the exile. They were exiled starting in 605 BC, 597 BC, and 587 BC. They were taken, and we read in Daniel chapter 9 that he was reading the book of Jeremiah, and he realized that this captivity is going to be for 70 years. And he knew that time was coming closer and closer when the Israelites will be released from Babylon. And he was praying for them, praying for them. But then, who is going to do it? They're in a different nation altogether. And then suddenly what happened in 539, the regime changed. From Nebuchadnezzar and his family's rule, the head of gold, I think I showed you this picture, the head of gold, that changed, and that came to the next reigning group, which is the Medo-Persians. The Medo-Persians came in, captured Babylon, and they started ruling Babylon. And then we have the king, King Cyrus. Do you know today they call a man king, similar to King Cyrus? Do you know who that is? Our own president, Donald Trump. Israel declared him to be the King Cyrus of today, because he changed the capital of Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. So they called him King Cyrus. And what did King Cyrus do? King Cyrus released the Jews from Babylon. So I like to find out, is it written in the Bible? Was it written? Let's turn to, I like to read that verse because I think it's kind of important, in Ezra, book of Ezra, chapter 1. Those of us that have read the book of Ezra, we will see from the very first few verses that truth coming out. Ezra, chapter 1, verse 1. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing. And so he made a proclamation, he said, and he wrote. And what did he do then? Thus said Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven had given me all the kingdoms of this earth, and he had charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Look at verse 3. Who is there among you of all his people? Is God be with him? And let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord of God. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. Now we have proof that it is King Cyrus. When he came to the throne, the rulership, the king of Babylon or the king of Mesopotamia, the whole region, he decreed and proclaimed that the Israelites shall be released. So the exile is over and they're all coming home. They're all coming home. And when did they come back? They came back in 538. 538 BC, he came back. They came back to Israel. And why were they left? What was Cyrus telling them? They are being left to go back to build the temple of God. And so they all came. They were happy. It was a 3 to 4 months journey from Babylon, walking all the way down to Judah. And I've got a little map of Judah. This one red or orange here down below, that is Judah. Now, if you look at the green portions of that, that is Israel, that northern kingdom. And those folks are not there already. 100 years ago, 150 years ago, they were taken by the Assyrian kingdom. They were taken, and from there, they scattered on to the rest of the world. And they are the 10 lost tribes of Israel. And they are still somewhere else. They are not there. So we find that Israel, the kingdom of Judah, the people of Judah, is coming back. Only a small fraction of people are coming back, about 50,000, probably a few millions when the remnant came back, 50,000. And they came back, they were so excited, and the following year, they started building the temple. They started building the temple in 536 BC. Some of the dates, when we look at different books, they give us a little different dates, but approximately they started building the temple. It took them 2 years. And by 534 BC, 2 years' time, they finished the foundation of the temple of God. The temple of God, they finished the foundation. And what happened? They left it there. That was it. That's all they built. The purpose that Cyrus the king left them, gave them permission to leave Babylon, was to go build that, because Cyrus the king himself wanted this temple to be built for the Lord. Now, was Cyrus the king a child of God? No, he was not. He was a pagan king. He was a Persian king. But what happened? Because God moved him to do it. Because God is the one, like I first told you, God decides everything for you and everything for me. Whatever happens, wherever we are, whatever we do, everything depends on all of those things. You know, we got to be careful in every life that we spend, that we spend it for the glory of God. Now, another proof that we also need is whether Cyrus really did this. And for that, we got to look at Isaiah chapter 44. And we can look at verse 28. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 28. That saith of Cyrus. This is Isaiah writing. He is my shepherd, who, Isaiah, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple, thy foundation shall be laid. Let's look at 45, Isaiah 45, 4. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel my elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. Cyrus is not a child of God. King Cyrus was not, but God called him to do something. And that was to let his people go. And he did. And so now we come to the book of Haggai. They are already there. And I told you the book of Haggai was written in 520 BC. They were in that land already in 538 BC. It's 18 years since that time, from 520 to 538. 18 years they have been in the land, and the temple of God is not built. 18 years, mind you. And Cyrus the king gave them money, gave them gold, gave them silver, gave them all that they needed, including the timber and everything, brought all the way from Babylon to Judah to build the temple of God. 18 years now, God is not happy. How do we know God is not happy? Let's continue to read from Haggai chapter 1, and to answer that God is not happy, let's read verse 2 first. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come. For what? The time that the Lord's house should be built. So God is not too happy. Why? Because they have been released from Babylon in 538 BC, now it's 520 BC, 18 years, and his house is not built. Naturally, God is upset because the priorities of this people have been different. It has changed completely. They agreed to King Cyrus, yes, we are going to build the temple of the house, because King Nebuchadnezzar burned down the temple of God in 587 BC. And so the people came, they were all so excited to come and build. So when they came to Babylon, when they came to Judah, what was the condition in Judah? It was pretty bad. Imagine you leave your house, you've got 10 acres of land, and you leave that land and go somewhere else for 70 years. When you come back, what did it look like? Something up here, right? It's not going to be the same. It's going to be something like that. Plus, a lot of rubbish and heaps of things inside that land of yours. And that's exactly what Judah was. There were a few people staying there, the enemies of Israel, enemies of the Israelites were staying there, here and there, but basically there was no people. The land was lying idle for 70 years, and that's what we see. And they are released, and we see they have come back to the land. And now we will finish verse number 1 to do a little bit more. So the word of the Lord came back and came to Haggai, the prophet. So we understand that Haggai is the prophet, and he is the post-exile prophet, which means after the exile, the prophets after that, there were three of them. One is Haggai, the second one is Zechariah, and the third one is Malachi. Those were the three prophets, the minor prophets. And the ones before the minor, before this post-exile were the pre-exile, before they were taken in 605, 597, and 587. Those were the pre-exile minor prophets, the ones before them, nine of them total. And so God wants Haggai to speak to two people. One is the political leader of that time, Judah, and the second one is the spiritual leader. The political leader's name was the governor of Judah, was Zerubbabel. He was the son of Shealtiel, it tells us there. And the second person was the spiritual leader, which was the chief priest. Chief priest, and his name was Joshua. This is not the same Joshua we have read in the earlier book, Book of Joshua. No, this is the high priest of that time. So God is particularly pointing out to these two people. God always, like in ministries, for them to go out two by two. And here he has chosen Zerubbabel and Joshua. And he's telling them something. What is it that he's telling them? He's telling them in verse number 2, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say. What is the relationship between God and the Israelites? It's his children. It's his children. And usually, how God addresses his children is fine. Look at this. What he's saying. He's saying, this people. He's saying, this people. He's not saying, my people, because they're not too happy. Maybe when your children are giving you a lot of trouble, you probably address them the same way. Or you say, my wife's children. Not mine. You know, when they give you a hard time. That's what is happening. This people. Can you imagine God calling his people this people? That tells me he's upset. He's not happy. He is sad. And what is the problem? His complaint is this people, they are saying, their excuse, they are saying, it's not time to do it. They came from Babylon, and Cyrus sent them the money, the wood, and all of those timber and everything to go build the temple of God. That was the first priority. But what happened? They came and did something else. The verses would tell us what exactly they did. So this is the complaint that God is having. Think about ourselves. Is God complaining something about us that we are not doing? We heard some things this morning as Brother Rajan was speaking to us. Think about it. Is God speaking to us, telling us something that he wants us to do, and we are not doing? And we have got those excuses in our minds. Not verbally saying, because people are frightened to speak verbally or speak aloud these days. They keep it to themselves and give all the excuses. I cannot do this because I'm afraid, or maybe this or that. We have Moses, read Exodus chapter 11, and you see the excuses our own man Moses did at that time. It's a very interesting thing, and his excuse was given directly to God. God was speaking to him, and he's telling them, I'm afraid. Lord, I am afraid. I'm not up to the task. And finally, he says, I can't even speak. We do the same. We give the same excuses. I think I got it close here because my time has passed. So we have dealt with verse number 1 and verse number 2. I've got 2-3 more weeks, so we will keep on continuing. Next Sunday, we will continue with the rest, starting from verse 9. Okay? And on September 17th, I won't be here, as we will be attending our grandchildren's baptism here in Frisco, so we won't be here, but I will continue after that. Book of Haggai is a very interesting book. It speaks to us, although it's in the Old Testament, it still speaks to us about our priorities in our life, and also about our excuses in our life, and also about obedience. Three things jumps up from this book for us, and we'll go one by one. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for the book that you have included in our Bible. Thank you for the words that we have from you, O Lord. We thank you. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for enabling us, Lord Jesus, to understand, to discern what you're speaking to us, our priorities in our life, and also about our excuses we give for various things. Lord, help us to be obedient. Help us to live for you. Be with us, Lord, for the rest of the week as we once again return back on Sunday to give you praises and worship. We ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen.